case there's an emergency and you're looking for Nancy Joy, she's on the wrong side of the building. We're glad that you're here. We have visitors with us, and for that, we are thankful. There's a little book called Wings of Silver that has a lot of proverbial kinds of statements that are meaningful. The one that I focus on as we begin our lesson tonight says, "A man's venom poisons himself more than his victim." And indeed, if you've ever found a part of your life where you became resentful or bitter over circumstances of life, and you've lived long enough to overcome those feelings, as we look back, we see that it was a most uncomfortable kind of a feeling, and perhaps even was more destructive to ourselves than the circumstance or the people with whom we displayed such attitudes. Resentment and bitterness. Resentment begins as a painful kind of emotion. Some of the emotions that we have that are tied to attitudes are painful, and some are not. Greed is not a painful emotion. It's kind of an exciting emotion. Anger is not so painful, but explosive. And rushes of adrenaline are attendant to the emotion of anger. But resentment is a painful emotion. It develops into other painful things. It develops into self-pity. We become resentful for a while, and then, knowing obvious that we are the recipients of unfair treatment, have a full-blown pity party in order to make ourselves get through the feelings of resentment. If it continues unchecked, it results in bitterness. I think one of the saddest things that one can find in older people, especially, are people that are bitter about life, that don't seem to enjoy the blessings of God. Do you know of anyone that is bitter? That starts somewhere. It's very seldom, if ever, have I heard of someone that is bitter beginning being bitter. It's the development of resentment, self-pity, unchecked, and it results in a sort of a warped, ugly picture in one's mind that clouds everything. And you know, one of the destructive things about bitterness is it's contagious. Have you ever noticed that? It's difficult, even if you're as positive and happy as Vera, it's difficult being around someone for any length of time that's bitter and maintaining a sweet disposition, isn't it? It's a lot easier to become bitter than it is to be bitter and become positive. That makes it even more dangerous. If that bitterness is not corrected, it becomes hatred. That's a terrible word, hatred. It's related to something in the Bible called sin. God hates sin. So this development of an attitude is worth our consideration during the quiet time that we have together to consider things so that stopgap measures can be developed within our life before this becomes runaway. We don't want a runaway attitude that gets continually more difficult to adjust or correct. Resentment. I read once where an author said that bitterness is a malignant form of resentment that spreads rapidly to our entire life. And he equated that to a cancer that reaches out from that little speck that you can hardly see on the X-ray until it destroys life. And that is like bitterness. This resentment is easily justified in our mind. You'll find, If you examine the modus operandi of Satan, that he will not start with a death kill disease. He'll start with something that's easily justified because he knows that until it becomes a real problem, we won't give it a lot of our attention. And he wants it to develop a root structure. So resentment, the very initial stages of resentment, is easily justified. Especially is that true when we are truly injured. And I'm not talking about physical injury. When I, through innuendo or something, insult Austin, my friend, and that just sort of lays there, it's easy for him to feel justified in resenting me because I shouldn't have done that. I become a soldier in the army of Satan, trying to get at one of the leaders of the pack of the enemy, a faithful servant of Christ. And boy, is he tricky. With these kinds of emotions. And these kinds of attitude. There are usually statements that we hear that at least put up a caution flag. We will be more successful as children of God if we have a well-defined and active caution sign procedure that gets things early and puts it into our mind so that we stop and take a look at what's happening. That's why the caution signs on the road are before the danger. You never find the sign that says dip right at the dip. It's too late. Then it's just a definition. It's not a caution. It gives you time. Let me tell you the difference. In Canada, they have much more severe and strict traffic laws than we have here in the United States. You can verify that by talking to Irv, who is a resident of Canada. If you come anywhere close to handling a yellow light in Canada like we do, you'll lose your license. In America, the yellow light means accelerate. It meant that in Canada for a while, so you know what they did? They reduced the time of the yellow light by half. Think of that. Well, I would spend my life running red lights. And I know that it's dangerous and expensive to run red lights. I don't want to do that. But yellow's not so bad. I've never had to pay a fine for running a yellow light. That's an attitude that Satan knows that we have. And so when we get these yellow lights about resentment, we just charge right through knowing that we'll handle it when it gets to be bitterness or hatred, because everybody knows that's bad. But then it's so much more difficult. Doesn't that make sense? Let me give you a couple yellow lights about resentment. Statements that we hear. Now, if I'm about to resent you, I'm not going to say publicly, "Man, I'm about to resent that Lance," because that's socially unacceptable. But I might say something like, "Well, what can you expect under the circumstances?" That just flows. "Well, what do you mean?" Then I get to verbalize what Jason did to make me resentful. Or, "You'd be resentful too if..." And then I list the circumstance. That's socially acceptable. But what that is a statement that's the equivalent to a caution sign. And when I hear myself say that, I need to step back and say, am I starting this process of being resentful that's going to lead somewhere that I don't want to go? Why is it not better to see that early and correct it, just like it's better to see the yellow light early and stop because of the consequence? I think it's an analogy. We blame circumstances for our behavior. We do. One of the most useful tools in Satan's toolbox is us feeling okay, justifying untoward behavior because of circumstances. But let me tell you what the Bible says about that. "For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly." Well, now, who wants to suffer unjustly? I would find it easier to be resentful when I suffer unjustly, because that's the natural man about whom we spoke this morning. And it doesn't matter where you're the sweetest guy on the block or the roughest guy on the block, the tendency is the same to gravitate toward the beginning of this deadly disease. You might even be resentful if Gary doesn't get you the DVD that you were expecting on Wednesday until next Sunday. But yet, he gives of himself more than most of us in putting the whole process together. But some people cry when they don't have chocolate syrup on their ice cream. And we become resentful, don't we? And all it takes to fix it is recognizing the ease with which it invades our personality. Because fixing it early is an easy thing. And you know what? It makes us feel better immediately when we say, well, wait a minute. I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm going to be bigger than that. Well, I can puff out my chest a little bit because I've defeated Satan in an early round. That's why we consider such things. Bearing up is characteristic of a Christian. Resentment is a secondary infection. Now, Jade knows what a secondary infection is, or she didn't listen during nursing school. Pneumonia is not a primary infection. It starts with something. You don't start with pneumonia. You don't wake up tomorrow morning and say, man, I was great last night, but this morning I got pneumonia. Might have a cold, or the sniffles, or a cough. And all of these things, if not taken care of, result in a life-threatening disease that's tough to get over. That's the way resentment is. It's a secondary disorder. And I want to suggest to you that that's a good thing. Let me tell you, in using the analogy of pneumonia, it's easier to fix a cough with a cough drop than it is to fix pneumonia with oxygen in the hospital. All right. So let's talk about those things that get to this secondary infection called rejection. And if you're feeling any of this, these emotions, stop them before they get to resentment, because it's easier to do that now than to deal with it later. Doesn't that make sense? One of the things that is the secondary infection is unresolved anger. Are you angry about something or with someone that's going to grow to resenting them? If you are, it's easier to fix the anger than it will be to fix the resentment. Remember that passage, suffering unjustly? Well, I'm not going to get over that anger because they did. That's not the rule. The rule is, for my benefit, I'm going to fix the anger because I don't want it to put me in the spiritual hospital. I'm going to do what the kids used to say, just get over it. But that's not much fun. It's more fun to pay back a little bit, to at least turn the screw a little bit so they feel. But that's not what a Christian is about. Unresolved anger leads to resentment. Selfishness that we talked about this morning leads to resentment. Because it is not selflessness, it is selfishness. If you're selfish, it's going to get to resentment if you don't fix it. Okay, now if you're feeling anger or selfishness, I want you to raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding you. You see, we don't do such things because we don't want public embarrassment. Starting with the pulpit of putting up your hand, let's just fix it privately. And then maybe nobody will know we had it. That's so smart. But my grandmother would say, that's one of those things that's easy to say, but not so easy to do. She'd go on to say, that's where the rub comes in. Because it is hard to do. It's easy for me to look at my friend Ruth in the eye and say, Ruth, you do this, and forget that I need to do this. Isn't it? Stubbornness. Now, surely you're not stubborn, but I'll bet you know somebody that's stubborn and self-willed. And that leads to resentment because, regardless of how stubborn Alan is, I'm not going to give him his way. Even if I could, I'm not going to because he can't be that way around me. Well, now, how resentful did that sound? Have you got some stubbornness that needs to be addressed in your life? I would suggest that you don't ask your spouse. Envy and jealousy are things that lead to resentment that have to be treated early. Rick, I wonder why it is that it's so clear when we talk about that with the cough and the pneumonia, and it's so difficult to understand in resentment and spiritual things. It's just tough. I think there are five common forms of resentment. If you were preaching this, Dennis, you might have six. I wouldn't argue with that, but I've put five together. Common forms of resentment, because they come from an examination of my life. There's the I'm mad form. And I know little things that either pop in my mouth or pop in my mind or pop out of my mouth that are my warning signs. Maybe you'd get some good out of knowing what my warning signs are in this I'm mad form that leads to resentment. If you hear me say, Nick, oh, it wouldn't do any good to talk about it, I'm on my way. I am on my way. If you hear me say, I shouldn't have to say anything, they know they owe me an apology, I'm on my way. They'll never change. I've taken two steps toward resentment when I say that. Sometimes we accompany that by throwing our hands up. They'll never change. I used to do that when I evaluated basketball referees. After telling those stubborn striped shirt people for years not to do something, they come out and blow a whistle where everybody can hear it right in front of me and do the same thing. And I say, they'll never change. Now, when the commissioner used to see me do that, he'd say, "Don't be resentful." Because I was on my way. Warning signs. I can't get them to fill in the blank. I just can't get them to. Well, you can make your own warning signs. I'm not good at making warning signs for you. Those are mine. Then it's not fair. Four. Now, I'm really good at that. I'm expert at judging what's fair in every circumstance. I know there's got to be some time when it's my turn to win an argument. It's only fair. If I want Judy to know I said that, I'll tell her. Here's some form to this, it's not fair. I've got my rights too. It's America. Come on, Hillary, I got my rights. I'm on my way to resentment. Can you see it? Can you just feel? There's sort of even an uncomfortable feeling in me sharing with you what my signs are, because I can feel the tug to resentment. I can feel a little juice flowing, because that's what Satan wants me to do. Wouldn't it be something if Jacob and I were close enough, the young and the old, so that our impact on each other was close enough where we could just help each other with these warning signs and become instrumental in each other growing up without all of the pain that comes with radical heart removal. That's one of the things we should do when we gather together, is to become close enough together where we can just sort of chuckle about our warning signs early enough where fingers are not pointed. It's not that I care for myself, but they shouldn't be able to get away with that. Because you know, what's fair is fair, baby. I didn't put baby up there because I thought, well, but that's what I'd say. Then I'm on my way. Then there's the big I form. The big I. Doesn't anyone care about what I want? Now, Chris has said that because that grin only comes from a person that said that. Everybody says that. Inside or outside, we all say that. And that's a warning sign. When's it going to be my turn to have the remote control, to watch my show? I never get what I want. We gotta go eat chicken again. I wanna eat barbecued pork. That's a step with me toward resenting something that's going to grow if I'm not careful. I want to tell you, When Judy says, which she does regularly, even when sick, what are you going to preach on tonight? And I say, resentment. You know what she says? Good. I wonder what she means by that. There's a sign. So I say, honey, so I can bring you a DVD and you can get better. No, I don't say that. We have all of these signs in our life. Now you know what I feel like. You know, people can be just in the worst circumstances and want a little sympathy from people that really count, that need that building up, and that person comes up, and instead of hugging and saying, I'll help you get over this, you hear somebody say, now you know what I felt like. Wait a minute, I'm not ready for that. That's a sign. Sure as life. The I wish form. Statements like, everything falls in his lap. I have to work like a dog for what I get. I wish I had her looks and she had a wart on her nose. I resent the way they complain about how tough they have it. They don't know what tough is. When I was in grade school, I had to walk 16 miles one way to school in 3 foot of snow. And after basketball practice, walk all the way home. And when I got home, do the laundry, bring in the clothes. You know, we say all those things. People don't really do that. Oh, those of us that are older that talk like that, we're delusional. We read it somewhere. That didn't really happen. Some of the young folks in dealing what they deal with today do have it rougher than we did. But whether it was rougher than us doesn't matter. The fact that they're having it rough matters. And we should be helpful rather than comparing them to some standard that we set that enables us to go into the spiritual phone booth and rip off our shirt and have a big S on our chest. There are no S's around. Then there's the if I could just form. It's easy to mistake angry frustration as the source for this, but really, it's an unwillingness to accept God's provision for us. When we start feeling frustration because we don't have, it's because we're unlike the Apostle Paul that says, I'm able to live in this and on this end and keep my perspective. Is there anywhere in the spectrum of life where you could say, I'm happy? Not if you're always wanting something else. What does it take to bring about the contentment that one gets in being a child of God? Not lazy, but happy with what we are and what we're about, even to the point of being willing to suffer for the cause of Christ and know that it makes us better instead of making us worse. And that's a good thing instead of a bad thing. If I could just have Ryan Billington's voice, I could sing like he does. I'm not gonna sing out because he sounds better than me. If I could just have you. if I could just do if I just wasn't Lord willing, next Sunday night we'll look in the book and see the solution. God never addresses a problem that he doesn't give us a solution, because he wants us to be saved. Lord willing, we'll look at some solutions next week after we've had a week of identifying our own caution signs so that we can make the solutions fit our individual needs. And you know what that will produce? It will produce a corporate positive change. What that means is our family here will get better and stronger and closer together if we each one do our homework during this week of examination. If you're not a Christian, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Careless soul, while